What's up? Welcome to our podcast, Adopting Awareness. We're a team of students from middle school and high school, which are participating in a project sponsored by the University Miguel Hernández in the campus of San Juan, Alicante. Our objective with the podcast today is raise awareness about the situation of stray animals and the risk that is a pet abandonment and other benefits of having a pet. In this second episode, we'll see the risk of of animal abandonment might provoke and benefits of having a pet, and how does it affect the mood of a person.
One of the most significant risks that animal abandonment offers is zoonosis. That means the spread of diseases from animals to humans. When pets are abandoned incorrectly, the hosts and diseases can be dangerous to people. I know. Perdón.
British.
Ay, gracias.
British.
Wow, what?
Es que me he comido una línea entera.
No pasa nada.
Bueno.
Bien.
When pets are abandoned incorrectly, they develop hygiene, alimentation, and health problems. Therefore, there are a bigger risk of hosting diseases that can be dangerous to people. As an example, cats can contract toxoplasmosis that mainly affects the fetus of pregnant women. This protozoic parasite can cause just minor infections, but it could also end in death if the patient is immunodeficient. They have their immune system weakened. You can get this disease by eating contaminated or poorly cooked meat, or consuming water or vegetables that have been contaminated with cat poop. Another example of dangerous disease is rabies. This virus can affect almost all mammals. It has a nearly 100% death rate, since its symptoms don't show up until it's too late. Some symptoms are drooling, headache, nausea, vomit, hallucinations, and spasms in the larynx when trying to drink any sort of liquid. Is spread by the bite of an infected animal.
Yeah, so those are the main infections that you can get from zoonosis, but there are also some more. The main ones are parasitic, which means that they are caused by usually by small worms that live inside a host, and then they infect a human and cause diseases. Okay, so the first disease is toxocariosis, which is a disease that is a nematode which lives inside of cats or dogs, depending on the species. Yeah, so the disease then spreads to humans from eggs that the poop of those cats and dogs is left on the floor. Then we have hidatidosis, that can pass unnoticed for years, but then it turns into a heavy problem, causing cysts on the liver and the lungs of the host, that if he isn't treated correctly, it basically means a death. Some other zoonoses are caused by bacteria, like Bartonellosis, which can get infected from various ways, but the most common one is getting it from a scratch of a cat. Also, another bacteria is leptospirosis, that it can be found in contaminated water by the urine of some animals. Then it attacks the bloodstream and also can be mortal. Finally, we have some fungi infections. The main one is dermatophytosis, which causes eruptions in the skin of people and is transmitted from cats to humans.
Yeah, those are physical illness, right? But what about mental illness?
Well, I think mental illness are just caused by the humans. I think, like, can a cat cause you depression or anxiety?
I mean, yeah, there are some studies about that, but that's not the topic. I meant about how can the animals help us with our mental illness and all that. Like, for example, there are some studies about animal-assisted therapy that has been shown to be effective in treatment of psychological disorders, which include people in the autism spectrum, depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder. All this has been shown to help with the increased sense of comfort and safety, increased motivation to keep on with the therapy, enhance self-esteem, so basically a better self-esteem the person might get from this assisted animal therapy. And increased prosocial behaviors means that the person has more and better interactions with other humans. Mm. So, for example, in some studies, older people in geriatrics have been getting animal-assisted therapy, and they have been shown to get more friendly and talk more with their caretakers. So that's what it means to have a better prosocial behavior. And decreased behavioral problems means, for example, suicide tendencies or other behavioral problems that might cause harm to the person or the other or other people around them. So, which means is decreased behavioral problems is less of those type of problems. Also, they have been shown to help with people with neurodegenerative problems, for example, dementia or Alzheimer. Animals have been shown to help with those people not get worse so quickly in the case they suffer from those illness. So basically, animals can help a lot with mental health, right?
Yeah,
but is there any kind of specific pet that has more than others? Or
I mean, our studies have been made mostly with canines, like dogs and all, but actually, there's not a specific animal that you say this one's better, this one's worse. Like, for example, there has been shown studies about, for example, horses who help with, like I said, neurodegenerative problems. For some reason, equines have been shown to help with those problems. Or, for example, pets of assistance could be any animal if trained correctly. I've seen even, I'm not joking, a crocodile being a pet of assistance.
What?
Yeah, actually, there's a guy in, I think it was in Florida, who has a small crocodile as a pet of assistance to help with his anxiety, I think it was.
Whoa.
So, actually, any animal could help with those things if trained correctly.
Well, if you talk about fish.
Yeah, they can be trained too.
Yeah, but not for, I don't know, blind people. They can be guided by a fish.
Depends on the people too, but I mean, you can train fish to do some tricks and all. I'm not joking. So if you train them to somehow, well, yeah.
So yeah, maybe somehow do some loops in the water and stuff. Maybe people with anxiety problems could calm them and stuff.
Yeah, to calm down, to have some type of stimuli to help them. Maybe not someone, for example, diabetic, to help them get a glass of water or something like that, you know? But to help, we're talking about other type of illness, like mental illness in this case.
Yeah, like when I was in Ireland some weeks ago, I was like in a house where people with mental issues were treated with with horses. Like they actually relax a lot, the people that were there, and also like the movement of the horse, like up and down, helped with some people that had like some muscles paralyzed.
Yeah, so they also help with muscle diseases. So that's even better. Animals are just glorious in that aspect. They help us with illness, both mental and physical. What else do you want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in conclusion, maybe some animals do have some illness they can give us, like toxoplasmosis or rabies. Might be true, but what also might be true is the fact that they help us with our illnesses too. So what's not to love about them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if they're treated correctly, they can be one of the most helpful tools for people.
Yeah, they are tools, but living tools.
Yeah.
Have some more respect to them.
Like a shovel or physical force, I mean.
Yeah.
Emotional.
We know what you mean.
Thank you all for listening to us. It was a pleasure having you all. I hope you liked this episode.
We'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
con la colaboración de la Fundación Española para la Ciencia y la Tecnología, Ministerio de Ciencia, Innovación y Universidades.